Okay, so the first is prepping your campaign. So the first things first, you want to make sure you have a goal, right? You want to brainstorm about this idea before your campaign, so with the intention of what you want, rather than looking at the analytics after the campaign and seeing like, okay, what can I get from this? What are your important KPIs? Are you trying to get your audiences re-engaged? Are you trying to increase webinar registrants? What are you looking to get out of this? So if it's educational or relationship building, cross-sell, upsell, something like that, multifaceted, you know what I mean? And don't be fooled by the educational or relationship building content, because you're creating a relationship with your audience. Keeping those existing customers coming back for more is cheaper overall than trying to gain a new customer. They need to know who you are and what you're talking about, and what you're about. So if they were in a pinch, they come to you for a solution. They know that they can go to you and you will have the good content. You will have that product that can solve their problem. So there's lots of different things you can do. Oh, my mouse keeps broken. Okay. The second thing, when you're trying, before you're starting a campaign, is monitoring your deliverability. I mean, deliverability is basically email currency, right? If your reputation and domain do not seem trustworthy, it will be reflected in your results. So positive impacts, positive impacts are SPF, DKIM, and DMARC. I can go into those a little bit more just as a quick rundown. So SPF, and I'm reading a note about this so I do not misquote what we're talking about, because all these acronyms get a little confusing. So this allows the domain owner to look after their own reputation and deciding who has the right by deciding who has the right to send emails on their behalf. DKIM is a standard used by ISPs to verify that no phishing acts have been committed during the email routine. And then DMARC is an additional protection measure against domain theft. It's basically, if SPF and DKIM fail, DMARC is there to help you out. A double opt-in subscription method. I'm skipping engagement for now. Double opt-in subscription method is just, I think, the smartest thing you can do, because you can have the email verification up front when they are adding in their email to your subscri or to a subscription or to your site for 20% off. And then they receive an email that says confirm your email, so that you know, one, it's the most valid, they didn't fat thumb their email address and have a typo, and then you know it's not some spammer out there trying to just get on your list. And it also increases your engagement when they're actually verifying their email. They're committing again to say that they want your content, they want your emails, and so that engagement has a positive impact, because you want only people who are going to be active for your emails, are going to actually be interested and open them every time. Regular list maintenance. So our VP of deliverability, she actually had a webinar yesterday and I was listening all about this. She recommends doing this once a month. That means removing any spam traps or invalid emails, any old emails that the inbox is full and can no longer be delivered to. If someone left their company, that's an old inbox, you know, they're gonna end up being inactive on your list. And so that kind of drives down your engagement and flags to DKIM and SPF that, you know, something isn't right here. Segmentation, you wanna segment to your most engaged, but then make sure your messages are going to the right people at the right time. And again, this will go into personalization later in the presentation. So we'll see how exactly to segment and who to segment so that we can further dive into that. Negative impacts, again, your list quality and engagement. If it's not everyone who is engaged, who isn't actually an active participant on your list, if you have someone who is accidentally a spam trap or an invalid email address, it's going to drive down your reputation. Your email content and design. Avoid using spammy words like free, sale, click here. Please don't use click here. You can also, if your image is too large, it can end up in the spam folder. So you want to monitor your send volume, so you're not spending, and you also want to monitor your spend volume so you're not sending a huge amount of emails at one time. You could send like 10,000, wait 3 weeks, send another 10,000. That's not a very good idea. So watch those sticky sending. Okay, move forward. As I mentioned, Inbox Insights, I'm using this as a resource. So respondents ranked the critical elements to increasing engagement, and the top three were content quality, personalization, and responsive design. This was a select all that apply, so that's why the percentages are a little bit ranked, but so we're gonna dive into those deeper. Cater to your audience. Oops, sorry. So in our email engagement survey, 89% of respondents said that a subject line is personalized to their, or that is personalized to their interests is more important to them than a discount code. So to me, that says a promo code's important, but I'd rather have the idea that you know what you're paying attention to what I want so that you're giving me more catered content so that I can trust you more and that you're impressing me with it, what you know about me. So, it's kind of nice. Including a promo code with that, I'm sure would not hurt. Okay, so with personalization comes a few different ideas here. So you can do the basics like personas, interests, geographic areas, or you can do something like the stage in the process. If they're new or brand new customers, they're gonna need different messaging than the existing active versus the inactive. So new customers, what do they need to start your product or service? What do they need after they buy something from you? Existing customers, you're just maintaining that relationship and nurturing them, and this is a great opportunity for a cross-sell and upsell. Whereas inactive, how can you bring them back? How can you establish that you have value and that they've come to you before? How can you get them to come to you again? This all leads to, again, segmentation to boost your engagement. And you can also segment based on customer and behavioral data. So did they visit a web page? Think of like an abandoned cart email or, recent purchases. Did they just buy something from you? And you can follow up with like a review request or did they use something from your product? So we have like email verifications. How many email verifications did they use last month? Can I upsell them something? Oops, I keep clicking the wrong screen for some reason. This is an example of how I've done it. So we sent out a holiday toolkit email and based on the plan, based on our MailJet plans, you have different features available. So the first example on the left is the premium plan. They have 1,000 verifications at their disposal, whereas on the left, the essential plan does not have any included, but it is available to them. So we left that as more educational, whereas we personalized in the premium email, again on the left, something that they could, exactly what they could do with it, how many they have at their disposal to log in and actually take advantage of that. Okay, loving your content. So position your content in a way that they're gonna know exactly what they're getting out of it. Don't bury the lead. How does it solve the problem that they may be, or how does it solve a problem they may be experiencing so that they know that they can rely on you? And why are they gonna benefit from it? We love our own content, but we created it, so of course we love it, but like how is it gonna help your audiences? Like how is it being shown in the email to know them, like they can get exactly what they want of it. So I have a few examples from really good emails. Grammarly has, this is a great example of a win-back campaign. They called out that they were into writing things. And they have loved Grammarly before. They disappeared, start again. It's easy, it's simple, go. Judy. I did not know what Judy was. Obviously an email subscriber would, but I didn't know what Judy was before I saw this email. But then everything is right there above the fold for me to see. So a well-stocked emergency survival kit. There's a testimonial from a well-renowned writer from Rolling Stone magazine. Crazy. And then it gives you another example of how it can be used. Brilliant. And I think it's on the forefront for you to have. And then the Casper example is a great abandoned cart. So you know exactly what you're missing out on. And then they give a testimonial of how helpful Casper has been to them. So I think it's all at the forefront. They're not explaining too much. They're giving it to you and going. Loving your design. So sometimes it is about looks. Our lead, our senior email developer, Megan Bischhausen, gave a great speech a couple weeks ago on spam about accessibility. And this is just huge. One of the biggest takeaways I had was it doesn't matter what segment of your audience needs the accessible version, because everything should be inclusive and everything should be accessible. So code your emails for the screen readers that are helping people with these sensitivities. Make sure you're using alt text in case they can't see the image, but the alt text helps the screen reader tell them exactly what it is and be descriptive. Text size and imagery, watch your GIF usage, make sure it's not too flashy, make sure it's not, the color combinations aren't, hindering someone with those kind of sensitivities. Email rendering. You want to make sure your email's rendering correctly across all the platforms and devices possible. You put so much time and effort into your emails. You don't want to end up with, an image that's over to the left and not aligning with your CTA button. It's not great. It can kind of decrease the trust that your customers have with you. And then it also, I mean, if you're sending out an email, there are other options or tools available for you to do to make sure this happens. So utilize them, like Email on Acid, which is one of our brands. I won't lie. They're great. They can show you across 60 plus platforms and devices how exactly your email is going to look. So sometimes we see a problem with Outlook. Who doesn't? And we can catch that before we send. And then dynamic content, which we're going to go into shortly, is a great way to personalize. It's kind of what I did in our holiday toolkit example. But it's just an excellent way to, show another dedication to your audiences. Okay, so the top three ways to use dynamic content are through images and visuals, text in the email body, and then text in the subject lines. I'm sure we've all seen text in the subject lines. Sometimes your data, isn't that great? People put in Julia in all caps. So if your subject line is all sentence case and then my name is in all caps, it's not my favorite. I get it all the time. It's a good effort, but it kind of falls short. So here are some examples of how to do that in your body. So the United by Blue, this is an email that automatically updates depending on the tracking. So, and then the shipping confirmation. So right here it's in transit, but this will change once it's delivered or originally when it was shipped, which I think is really clever. The Loom email is a very cool example of how to personalize their data from like a year in review. I love it. How many videos they recorded, videos they watched. You can do like how many products you use, or I would do how many verifications they used. It's awesome. And then the Made in Cookware, this email was all about personalized cookware. Like you can add your name to it. And they showed that right in the email. And Smiles Davis is the name that Really Good Emails uses just as a placeholder. So I think it's really cool that they put that in their email of how it would look. Okay, so giving people what they want. Sorry, I didn't mean to go past that slide so quickly. 78.5% of respondents in the email engagement survey said they want to hear from their brands at least once a week, while 51% said they want to hear from them more than once a week. Take that and run with it. I mean, A lot of people, if depending on the industry you're in, it's gonna be you can send a lot because if you have a lot of promotions or a lot of products you want to hit. But just keep in mind that sometimes less is more. Or if you're only sending once a week, maybe you can nudge it up to two and see what happens. So some options for you here. Automated and trigger campaigns. This, along with dynamic content, saves you so much time and gives you so much opportunity. So you can do them based on the behavioral aspects, like I was mentioning, or even with onboarding, you want to make sure that your customers are receiving a nurture series if that's applicable to your product. And I know this is cliche, but timing is everything individually for that campaign, but then also for your whole strategy. So I also have it under testing because it can be something cool to test. Dynamic content. We had, this is an example, we had a pricing email that needed to go out, and we send out in four languages. Each plan had a different feature allocation that needed to be included. We made that dynamic so that instead of sending out 25 emails, I could trigger the dynamic section off the segment. And then it saved me time and execution and still provided a personalized experience. So just keep these things in mind, because it's not just for the benefit of your audience, but it's for your benefit too. Testing, love testing. You can test anything you want, subject lines, CTA buttons, content. Do they like something straight to the point or funny? Do they like something vague or specific? It's great. Like I mentioned, timing. You can see, are they more going to respond to an email if you wait a week after they onboard or in 3 days? How long does it take for them to buy something else? Upgrade? You don't know. Try it out. And I love testing with content placement and corresponding subject lines. So if I have multiple features in an email, I like to, so for our blog newsletter example, so say I have three blogs, I will correspond the last feature in the email with the subject line. So that way I can see if people are actually only clicking on the first feature because it's easy, or if they're actually taking the time to go to the bottom of my email to read that feature. And it's a really cool test. And it's just interesting to see people's behavior because they often do. They often do go down because they actually care about that topic. Okay, calculating ROI. We just did a very in-depth article about this, and I'm going to include the link for you because it's a lot of math. One, that we don't have time for today. Two, it's very complex. There are so many complexities, such as your providers, your employees, your services, how much is going into your total email cost. So, this is a very personal thing that you can take away. There are multiple possible conversions from an email, and not every email is trying to make a sale. I send out the blog newsletter. That's not trying to make a sale. It's just trying to get education out there. Whereas there are five attribution models that you can use. And again, we dive so much deeper into this in our blog, so I will have that for you. But last click attribution, first click attribution, linear attribution, position-based, and time decay attribution. There's tons of examples and more definitions, so I do have this for you. I just figured it'd be a little bit easier for everyone to do it on their own. So very cool coming to calculating email ROI, because it you have to because it, it's to show that email is making a difference in your strategy in your company. Email is the channel that brings in the highest ROI. So why not, give yourself a boost, get a little raise out of it, it'll be excellent. Okay, so we're gonna wrap it up. Can't believe I babbled to you for this long, but it feels like 5 minutes to me, sorry. Let's see. Okay, so email dues. Monitor your deliverability, because again, it's your email currency. Personalize the user's content and their experience overall through copy, segmentation, promotions, whatever. Implement accessibility always. And again, email and ACID is a great tool to help you make sure that your emails are rendering. Email don'ts. Don't forget to test your emails before you send for rendering. Send out a campaign without a don't forget to, or I'm sorry, don't send out a campaign without a direct goal and purpose in mind. Just lead with that thought and it'll be more successful overall. And please don't use the term e-blast. I doubt anyone is doing that here, but anymore, but I'm just putting it in there. Don't use it. Okay, great resources for you. So again, Email and Acid is a great email rendering tool. We also have email previews in MailJet that is combined with Email and Acid. So that's perfect. It's so helpful. I use it every day. Megan, our email dev, uses it every day. Email verifications. So that is a great list maintenance tool, like I mentioned. You should be doing every month if you can, or at least every quarter. Mailgun has great API solutions and other deliverability products. So if you care to check that out. We have a great podcast at Mailgun called Emails Not Dead. Megan and I actually just did an episode that'll be coming out shortly. That might have been a sneak peek. So sorry, Thomas, if you're watching. It's very interesting and our team is so funny and so great to listen to. Community. So the Email Geek Slack channels, if you're not part of it, apply. It's so cool. I don't know what I was doing before the Email Geek Slack channel, but it's so cool. It's just great to be part of this community. Same with Women of Email. Amazing. And if there are any others, please share them with the group so we can all join in them together. I truly love this community and how niche it is, but how excited we all are about this. So please drop them in the chat. Okay, like I promised, some light reading. So the email, the inbox insights and the email engagement survey that we put in there that I use as background. I gave you links for both of those, and either me or Raghav can put them in the chat as well, so you have the direct links. And just some other newsletter ideas, email previews, the calculating email ROI that I mentioned. Email marketing audits if you're in a spring cleaning mood, and then the marketing calendar for 2022, dates you shouldn't miss. So lots of good things. And this is my contact information. Please stay in touch